I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Full Contact Catholic Radio, Straight Talk Catholicism. Our program is not right versus left, it is right versus wrong. My name is Jesse Romero, my partner Terry Barber, and I'm reporting for duty, sir.
Jesse, I'm reporting for duty also. I don't know if this microphone is on, but I can barely hear. Now,
yes, it is. Yes.
Good. Jesse, I am. I'm in Studio A because people want me in there. That's fine. Hey, Jess, this is going to be a very good show because today's feast day, St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, angel, the archangel's feast day. We're going to talk about angels and angelology. And also, Jess and myself, we did, I think, 4 hours or 3 hours. Yeah, 3 hours of angel stories years ago. And we're going to make them available to anybody who wants them, some powerful angel stories. Also, Jess, this is an interesting topic. U.S. bishops. Here's what he said. Are COVID lockdowns morally obligatory? And this bishop in Illinois said, I would say no. So we're going to find out what he has to say. And you know what's interesting about this, folks? He's saying things that Jess Romero and Terry Barber were saying 7 months ago, Jess. It's just how it came. So we're seeing more and more.
But what's good is when it comes from a bishop, it just has that apostolic authority.
Well, of course. we're not managing. Yeah. We're in sales. So,
right.
But that's all good. And also, I want to just give kudos again to Archbishop Cordeleon up in San Francisco. We've got a bishop who's telling the mayor of San Francisco to go pound sand, basically, and say that you don't tell me when I can say Mass. That's my job, not yours. And I really appreciate that because he's taking Jesus out into the streets for Eucharistic adoration. And he's just saying, wait a minute, this is persecution. You let all kinds of things happen in the state and the city of San Francisco. We can't go worship in a church that holds 2,500 people and you won't let them come in and pray? No, not on my watch. And so I'm grateful that he's doing that. But Jess, before we get into all of these issues of angels, bishops, standing up for the faith, let's open up our Bibles because today's feast day, the first reading is from the book of Revelation, and it's powerful.
So all the readings today are about angels.
Yep.
So here they go.
Okay.
Today's the feast day of St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael.
Yep.
Pray for us, ora pro nobis. And the first reading is the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to describe here the original war that broke out in heaven.
Yep.
When Lucifer, the sin of pride just kicked in, and the sin of envy kicked in, and Lucifer at this moment rebelled against God's authority, God's fatherhood.
Yep.
And he led a riot. He was like Antifa in heaven. Lucifer, that's what he was. And here's the description. Yeah. This is Antifa and BLM in heaven here. It says, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. So Michael and his angels, that's a reference to the good angels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, the dragon and its angels fought back. The dragon, that word is also can be translated to serpent. So the bad angels, they sided with Lucifer, who's now called the dragon or the devil. And they made what the catechism says, they made an irrevocable decision to reject God, and the two-thirds of the other angels made an irrevocable decision to follow God.
Amen.
It says, the huge dragon and the ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. Catch that? That's one of the tools of the diabolical, deception. And this is, by the way, you see this especially in politics, as the catechism says, that the devil uses politics to further his causes. And how does the devil use politics? It's right here in the Bible. Deception. The devil uses deception. And it says, and he was thrown down to earth. So notice the devil was thrown down to the moon. No, Pluto. No, Jupiter. No, planet Earth.
Amen.
And its angels were thrown down with it. What angels? The fallen angels, the one-third that followed him. Those are called the fallen angels. We now call them demons.
Yep.
Says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed. That's a reference to the second person of the Trinity. Look at what the devil's called here now. For the accuser of our brothers is cast out. So the devil is called by John the Apostle the accuser, who accuses them before our God day and night. In other words, a lot of people have, they're always saying, I hear these voices, these sounds play in a loop. Kill myself. I'm no good. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'll never amount to nothing. Those accusing voices are the enemy. That's called diabolical obsession, these mental attacks. And we must pray through them. You fight through them through prayer by taking custody of your intellect through prayer. And it says, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Who's they? That's the baptized. That's us. So that's how we conquer the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. What's that a reference to? The Holy Eucharist and the sacramental life of the church. That's the blood of the Lamb. And it says, and by the word of their testimony. So we also conquer the devil by proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the word of our testimony. Not the truth of politics or the truth of history or the truth of math. The truth of Jesus Christ. That's the word of our testimony. And it says about these martyrs in the first century. It says, love for life did not deter them from death. Therefore, rejoice you heavens and you who dwell in them. The gospel. That's the first. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Just, so notice that the last verse basically says,
that's
Terry,
what I was just going to say.
That, yeah.
Yep.
That their love,
that's right,
for eternal life,
yeah,
basically,
yeah,
the divine life, it didn't deter them from giving, exactly, their life for Jesus here on planet Earth and dying martyrs.
Well, you know, Jess, that's well said. And again, we're going to be talking about angels today because it is this great feast day. But before we do that, Jess, I'd like to bring the smartest guy into the room. Fulton Sheen's got a passenger with him, St. Thomas More. And what's the word they've been talking about on that train? You'd like to know, wouldn't you? Here it comes. Here's this quote from St. Thomas More. He says, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Yes, it fits right into that first reading, you know. Mm. And the saints basically mimic the scriptures. If you notice something, you'll never hear a canonized saint say something that's not a biblical saying. It goes right back to some biblical writing in the Bible. And this is another one. I'll repeat it. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And remember Thomas More? He was the guy in England who gave his life up. He could have, you know, compromised with the king and given up his Catholic faith and just been, you know, okay, the king's number one, God's number two. I get it. Nope. He gave us an example for us today when they're saying to us, hey, Jesse, give up your faith and just be a secular guy and you'll be okay. We won't be, you know, persecuting. You'll get along much better in this life if you just throw out your religion. And we're saying, nope, just the opposite. We're going to proclaim it even louder. And I think especially with this COVID-19 thing right now, that's the time now not to go under your bed and hide. It's the proclaiming Jesus Christ even louder now that we're being persecuted, where we can't go into our churches and, you know, they're limiting all kinds of access to us. No, we have to be like what the Bible says. We have to be able to stand up for our faith and not turn away. That's my take on that, Jess.
Terry, let's also say a St. Michael the Archangel prayer that truth will prevail in tonight's debates.
Point. Yeah.
That the truth will prevail in tonight's debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, that lies will be exposed clearly, mm-hmm, for those watching the debate, and that the truth will resonate in the heart of all Christians, Catholics and Protestants, and that we will gravitate and vote for that person proclaiming the truth of life.
Amen.
Of the sanctity of innocent human life and religious liberty. So let's pray to St. Michael in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And I also say that we pray a memorare for Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh, big time.
She's going to be going through her hearings again. And I'm just going to pray that they don't bork her or pull a Brett Kavanaugh on her, on this Catholic woman, practicing Catholic woman. I just hope that God protects her through these hearings from these wolves, because that's what they are, the ones that are going to grill her. And so we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear us and answer us. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for her and protect her. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for her and protect her. St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, pray for her and protect her. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about angels later in the show. Some basic catechesis showing you in the catechism in the Bible where angels are all over the Bible. But I'd like to talk about what's going on in Illinois. There's a Bishop Thomas Pokorky of Springfield, Illinois, and he's speaking out. I say this, Jesse, it seems like Archbishop Vigano is inspiring more bishops in our country to speak up and speak out their mind, because what he's saying, he's asking, are COVID lockdowns morally obligatory? And he's saying, I would say no. And let him explain why, because I think he's got a PhD in common sense, and common sense ain't that common. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We're helping you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Don't turn the dial. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Did you hear about Bishop Thomas Pokorky? Yep, he published a philosophical analysis of the coronavirus lockdowns, and he argued using Catholic thought
yep.
that there's no moral obligation to shut down our society and require people to stay at home and put employees out of work and send businesses into bankruptcy and impair the food supply chain and prevent worshipers from going to church. In other words, Bishop Paprocki is essentially saying that the COVID lockdowns are not morally obligatory. He disagrees with those that would say, no, we have a moral obligation. Bishop Paprocki says no. And what he did, Terry, he leaned his arguments on basic Catholic moral teaching.
Yes, using a clinical decision. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a book in the Catholic Church that we have. It's Ethics and Medicine. Yep. Sometimes it's, moral ethics. It has different names. But this is a long-standing Catholic way of looking at medicine and the ethical or unethical things regarding the world of medicine. And as Catholics, Terry, he makes a very good distinction that we as Catholics know to be or know to call extraordinary means to save a life.
That's right.
Versus ordinary means to save a life. So he uses this platform to look at the COVID-19 lockdown, and he demonstrates that, no, this is a violation. We're only called to use ordinary means to cooperate with this, not extraordinary means. That's the argument of his article.
I love it because he says, first, we recognize that our human life is one of our greatest gifts. It is not a moral absolute, and in fact, it's secondary to eternal life of our immortal souls. Jesse, it's refreshing to hear a bishop say that. He wrote, I mean, really? Yeah, you mean you don't want me to wash my hands? And that's what you know. While life needs to be treated with respect and reverence, here it comes, Jess, there are higher goods, as we can be seen in things like martyrdom or attempting to save a life of another. And secondly, he says, recognizing that our human life is passing, amen to that, there are circumstances when it is just to decline medical treatment because they would be considered extraordinary to the situation. The bishop continues, mentioning the expenses connected to the treatment. An example, deciding to forego such treatment is in no way a refusal of life, but is rather a recognition that even life is passing. And then thirdly, medical professionals work with those competent authority over the others. In some cases, family members with medical powers of attorney for those who cannot make the decision themselves to make prudent decisions regarding what treatment to utilize or even to decline. Finally, he listed the principle that medical science and government leaders are called to act in a way that protects the health of our population. This is the cash value right here, Jess. Turning his attention to a society as whole, the bishop argued, and if we have a moral obligation to use every possible means, even extraordinary means, to preserve life, then we should not even get into our cars, since there's a risk that we could be killed, given the fact that over 35,000 people have died nationwide in auto accidents every year since 1951. Just instead of this simple prescribing, driver society has implemented certain safety features to make crash risky, including, seatbelts and airbags. He's saying this, Jess, similar in the face of the pandemic, we do have a moral obligation to shut down our society, requiring people. Similarly, in fact of the pandemic, do we have a moral obligation to shut down our society and require people to
stay home? So he's asking the question.
Yeah. Put employees out of work and businesses into bankruptcy, right? All that. He says, no. He said that would be imposing unduly burdensome extraordinary means, he explained. While some people may voluntarily adopt such means, yes, if you want to stay in your house in a bubble, go ahead. I'm not going to hold you, I'm not going to condemn you. But he says only ordinary means that are not unduly burdensome are morally required to preserve life, both in the part of the individual as well as society as a whole. Jess, this is common sense. But you know what, Jess?
This is only common sense. See, this is the genius of the Catholic Church, because I've talked to Protestants about this.
Okay.
And they don't have a moral theology or an ethical theology.
That's true.
They just try to find a Bible verse.
Yeah.
And the Bible doesn't cover all the issues of life.
Right.
This is the genius of the Catholic faith. that's been around for 2,000 years that looks at these minute things and how they affect us. And the church has given us, you know, well thought out ways to approach these things. This is the sheer intellect of the Catholic Church at work, where the church would come up with this idea of extraordinary means versus ordinary means. That makes a Protestant or a Jew's head pop, because they don't have the details, the minutia of that type of thought. That's the power of the Catholic intellect, guided by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm glad that Bishop Papraki, he took that medical ethical rule, and now he's applying it to the lockdown. So he's saying, okay, this is Catholic medical ethics. Let's take this template and apply it to the lockdown. And what he's saying in this article, it fails to meet the standard of using extraordinary means. The government is overreaching. The government is putting their jackboot on the Catholic Church's neck.
Exactly.
And what they're doing is, this is a violation of, another, again, the genius of the Catholic brain. The Catholic Church also has three social teachings called the principle of authority, the principle of subsidiarity, and three, the principle of solidarity. That's Catholic social teaching. This is the genius of our church. So the church says this: the principle of authority means that the government can take prudent means to, again, to run society and run a city efficiently. Stop signs, red lights, you know,
order,
you know, freeway on ramps.
Right.
However, the government at this point, based on this article, has violated the principle of authority. In other words, they went beyond what the government is allowed to do. That's a violation of the principle of authority. Next principle, principle of subsidiarity. The church says, the leave the little guy alone. The big guy should not harass the little guy. Things work best at the micro level, at the smallest level, the family, the city, you know, the school. The federal government, the long arm of the city hall, should not overreach into the small details of society. Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They've, in violation of the principle of subsidiarity, the Department of Health Service, DHS and CDC, they're basically running the whole show right now around the world. We are the doctors, so you guys all have to stay home and put on masks. That's a violation of the principle of subsidiarity. Let the governors, let mayors run this. Let every city run this. And then finally, it's called the principle of solidarity. The Catholic Church says that we have the right. That's what the word church means, assembly. Mm-hmm. It means for people to gather. We have the right to gather together as people and help each other and encourage each other. What's the government doing? They're violating the principle of solidarity. Stay 6 feet away from the next human being. Cover yourself with a mask. Don't gather in large crowds over 50 people. What the Democrats are doing, and in collusion with the CDC, is a violation of every single Catholic medical and social principle.
Jesse, well said. And this bishop is not afraid to say what you just said, because he said in this article, he wrote that the U.S. Supreme Court got it wrong when it ruled that Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom could enforce the order of discriminating against houses of worship in placing numerical restrictions in public gathering. What I really appreciate about Bishop Pokorsky, he is willingness to speak out and call things for what they are. He said, physical health is important. I get it. But what's the highest good? It's eternal life. Thank you, Bishop. He's emphasizing that. He said, the free exercise of religion, access to means of salvation established by Jesus Christ through his church, must have top priority in a moral and legal order. And Jesse, I love his quote scripture again. He refers to the Gospel of Matthew, where Christ says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jess, you've said it for months. We've been saying this. We're more afraid of the China virus than mortal sin. Look at our culture. Jesse, let me give you an idea of what happened. We did a show with Bishop Strickland, who's going to be coming on after this show again. And don't forget, everybody, Bishop Strickland, Father Altman, will be on Friday at 5 o'clock Pacific Coast time. Special interview. Nobody else has it in the whole world other than Virgin Most Powerful. You'll hear it. But here's what happened. We're doing the Ten Commandments by Bishop Strickland. And when we were on the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, YouTube said, hey, wait a minute. That's offending a majority of the people in America.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want that. And you know what, Jess? Too bad, because I'm going to say it right on it. It's on YouTube right now. Guess what? I can't, Jesse, I have to speak for the truth. I cannot hold back. This is what Christ taught Christ teaches through his church, the Ten Commandments, and they're not suggestions. So when they tell me, yeah, you can't say that, well, I guess I'll go to jail over that, because I'm not going to shut up and teach. I'm not going to shut up and not teach what Christ has taught through his church. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Bishop Thomas Paprocki, he's also said that abortion is the preeminent issue of our time.
That's right.
So he's that's another. And by the way, the USCCB, I'm going to, you know, give the I have to. I'm glad that they did that. They took a vote on that issue.
Yeah.
Is abortion the preeminent issue of our time? And the majority of the USCCB says absolutely it is. And I'll tell you, Terry, Bishop Paprocki.
Yeah.
This is the type of leadership that we need in the Catholic Church.
More.
We need to hear people speak like him, speak the truth and charity.
Absolutely.
And I love it when, you know, because he understands that the church is above even the government.
That's right.
Where he says, again, like you quoted, that the U.S. Supreme Court got it wrong. See, this bishop understands his role. He understands that the office of a bishop or the successor of the apostles, that's a supernatural office. A government official, even a Supreme Court justice and a president, that's a natural office. They both come from God. Civil authority comes from God. Spiritual authority comes from God.
That's right.
But spiritual authority, supernatural authority, is the highest authority that we have. And I'm glad to hear that Bishop Paprocki is speaking like an apostle, and we need more people to speak out like him.
Absolutely, Jesse. And Bishop Strickland is on after us.
Yeah.
And like I say, he's one of those guys. Jess, when we come back, you know, God in his mercy and his providence has assigned to each of us a personal guardian angel. And we're going to quote the catechism. We're going to quote the Bible, because I'm telling you, the unemployment rate for guardian angels is way too high. We need to put them to work. And what we're going to quote is St. Thomas Aquinas on his teachings on the angels, the Bible, the catechism. When you come back, we're going to also tell some stories. And like I say, if you want to hear 2 hours or no, it's 3 hours of Jesse and myself telling stories on angels, call 877-526-215 and we'll send you a link. I think we did 3 shows years ago on angel stories. And you can take it by calling 877-526-2151. We come back, your guardian angel, the best friend you didn't know you had. We'll be back again. Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Straight Talk Catholicism. There's a saying amongst exorcists when they talk about angels and demons. This is basically taught in all the schools of exorcism around the world. They say, angels go where they are called, demons go where they're not resisted. That's a theological axiom amongst exorcists.
Wow.
And what it means is that, like Terry's always saying, angels seem to be unemployed in many instances. If you're not praying, you're not employing your angel,
yeah,
because that's one of the jobs of an angel. I mean, you see that right from the Bible. Angels carry your prayers to heaven. That's what they do. You see that in Tobit chapter 12. Verses 12 and 15, Revelation chapter 8, verses 4. Angels, when your prayer projects from your soul out of your mind or out of your mouth, it ascends to heaven. How? Like incense. That's what the Bible says. Our prayer rises like incense. Psalm 141, verse 2. So what happens with this incense? Angels grab this incense. It's in the Bible, Revelation 8, 4. Here it is, quote, "The smoke of the incense, along with the prayers of the holy ones," that's you and I, "went up before God from the hand of the angel," close quote. It's also in Tobit 12, 12, Tobit 12, 15. So let me give you this is how you employ your angel. When you pray, your prayer comes out from your soul, out of your mouth or your mind, like incense in the air. That's what the Bible says. Who's in the air? Well, the Bible tells us that you have angels and demons in the air in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 12, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. In case you're wondering, I wonder where angels and demons are at. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2, 3, and 6 tell us they're in the air. The Greek word air is aeros, which means heavenly places or of the air. So what do the angels do in the air? The Bible tells us. They take your prayers like the smoke of incense, and they take them before the hand of God. That's what they do. So if you're praying, you have angels ascending, descending from heaven, coming down, taking your prayers, ascending back up to heaven and taking them to God. If you're not praying, then you're not in the fight, because as they say, you know, in the Air Force, my pastor's retired from the Air Force. And he says, prayer is like an airstrike, because when you project your prayers into the air like incense, who's also in the air? Demons. Well, guess what exorcists tell us and teach? They teach that all our Catholic prayers injure and wound demons. Why? They're in the air. Your prayers ascend into the air like incense, and it causes them torment and injury, and it wounds them. So it's what's called a military airstrike. When you pray, and your angels are being employed by taking those prayers to God's throne. I mean, it's in today's gospel.
It is.
That's what today's gospel is about, where it says that the angels of God ascend and descend, and they're taking the prayers of God's people and the sacrifice of the Mass. They're taking it to God. And so it's exciting to see that we're part of this big church militant, and the angels are part of it as well, Terry.
And you know, without the supernatural life, nothing happens. And I think God in his mercy, his providence, assigns each of us this personal guardian angel. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, beside each believer stands an angel as a protector and shepherd leading him to life. That's paragraph 336. Many other paragraphs right there. The angelic ministry concerns our whole life, natural and supernatural. You see, not just the natural, it's supernatural. That's something. So in the natural order, Man can do many things on his own with or without the help of the holy angels. But here comes, Jess, on the supernatural level, our Lord tells us, without me, you can do nothing. That's right from the Bible, John chapter 15, 5. We are unable to perform any meritorious act and to progress in good without the help of God's grace. But this help of divine grace comes to us through the angels. And here's where St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, teaches us. This principle is true for each believer. The angel has a ministry from God in our behalf to protect, to console, enlighten, to strengthen, and to pray for us. See, this ministry the angel carries out with or without, you know, our consecration, okay? So what I'm trying to convey to you is our guardian angel is there to help us, but we have to ask for that help. So, you know, we could mention many things for which we owe our gratitude to our guardian angel. I believe, Jesse, at the end of our life, especially your life, Jesse Romero, there's many times that you're going to find that in your life, Jess, life would have ended without your guardian angel interceding. And I think of the situation in 1990, I think, too, out here in the San Fernando Valley with the Rodney King. I believe your guardian angel was there helping you, bro. You wouldn't be here today.
100%.
Yeah. Now, he's constantly at your side, Jess, and all of us, even when we do foolish things. You know what, Jess? The angel is even there when we sin. Did you hear that, everybody?
Yep.
He's encouraging you to repent. He protects us from many physical and spiritual dangers. He prays for us. He admonishes us. He guides us. Besides God and Our Lady, no one loves us more than our guardian angel. Only at the end of our life, as I said, we'll come to know how much our guardian angel has done for us and how much we have failed already in gratitude towards him. Yes, constantly thank your guardian angel. When we pray, we say, I thank you with all my heart. We should really mean it. Besides being our duty, it will bring much joy to our angel and new the greater graces for ourselves. The angels are important. That's why this feast day, we need to really study. Open up your Bible. Open up your catechism. There's much more.
Yeah, Terry, and also let's remember that the kingdom of darkness, the devil tries to mimic God. He tries to ape God. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a pleasant thought, but in every school of exorcism in the Catholic Church, what is taught is just like we have guardian angels assigned to us, Satan likewise assigns a demon to every person and also to an entire family. Now, that's not a pleasant thought, but that's Catholic teaching on high-level spiritual warfare. And so the fact is, but here's the good news. Now that I've said that, and I said, oh, no, what? I got a demon assigned to me and to my family? Yeah, that's true. Let's be big boys. Let's put on our big pants, and that's just a fact. So when you see that cartoon about an angel on one side and a demon on the other side, that's theologically precise according to every Catholic exorcist that teaches on angelology. Mm-hmm. But the good news is this, is that the church teaches, and again, when I'm saying the church, I'm talking about the experts in exorcism. They teach that even the most inferior angel, the good guys, is more powerful to drive out and defeat the most superior angels on the demonic food chain, because their angels are there's inferior angels and superior angels. And just to prove that to you, just to give you some relief, there's nine ranks of angels. They're called the nine choirs of angels. And actually, the angels are called the army in Hebrew. Every time you see in the Bible, it says the host of heaven. The host of heaven is a Hebrew word that means the army of heaven. That's what the Hebrew word host, Sabaoth, I mean, host of heaven means the army of heaven, which it's a reference to the angels. So it's a military structure, the angels and the demons. The demons still have a host, an army.
Yep.
Now, Lucifer, the devil, according to the Catholic Church's tradition, he was a seraphim. He was number nine. Okay, he was the top of the food chain, number nine. He was a seraphim. Now, Michael, he was number two in the rank of one to nine. He was an archangel. Archangels are number two in rank in terms of the economy of angels. And yet we see in the book of Revelation chapter 12 that a number two rank of angel, Michael, defeated a number nine rank of demon, Satan, Lucifer, which goes to show you that, again, the point that exorcists will tell you that even the inferior angels, because they're fighting with the power of God behind them, they are able to drive away and defeat the superior angels in the kingdom of darkness. And again, Michael and Lucifer, that fight would have looked like David and Goliath.
Jesse, I'm going to back you up with St. Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica. Everything you just said, everything Thomas teaches. For example, he holds the principle that God makes use of the angels for every physical intervention in the universe. What? Yep. And that all corporal things are ruled by the angels. Man, the angels are, as it were, the hands and feet of God's providence. Think about that, folks. Their knowledge of the natural universe and its laws is incomparably superior to ours. They hold a mysterious power over the material world, and their dominion goes far beyond the limits of science and technology. They protect our bodies from physical danger. They care for our physical needs. We can find many passages in the Bible where the angels protect man from physical harm, like the book of Tobit Jess was talking about, which we read, right? Book of Daniel also tells us much about the activity of angels. When King Darius, for example, found the prophet unharmed in the lion's den, Daniel exclaimed, "My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him." Daniel 6. Further, when the three young men had been thrown into the white hot furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar, the angel entered the flames with them, protected them from the suffering of physical harm. Seeing this, the king exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted him." Yes, the angels have done it, and they're going to do it for us too, if we just have that trust. And also, we want to call on our angels every day and thank our angels. And when we come back from the break, Jess, we have the final segment on how angels can help you get to heaven, because that's their rule. That's why God gave them to you. No other reason. It's not to fight the coronavirus. It's not to tell you to wash your hands. You know what the guardian angels tell you? Get in the confessional. Go to confession. Live in the state of grace. Live in the presence of God. That's what the angel's telling us today if we listen. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, trying to help you find in a deeper love for Jesus and his church. We'll be right back.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesse, big news. We just got word 1 week ago today. We now have 1,800 new listeners on YouTube watching the Terry and Jesse Show right now. So the point of it is that it's why, because people, Jesse, you're constantly telling them to like us, tag us so that you'll get notices. You know, we're getting over 1,000 to now 1,800 every single week because of our listeners, Jesse. They're getting
Praise
the word
the
out.
Thank you, Jesus. God. So let me ask, if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button. Exactly. Hit the bell to be notified and share this show with others because our goal is to help people fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and turn you into an evangelization machine.
Jesse, when we're talking about the angels, I know I want to quote the Catechism, paragraph 336. You know, Jesus said this in the Bible, Matthew 18:10. He says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." You know, whenever I hear that, I always think of abortion, Jess. "For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." So what do we learn from that passage, Jess? First of all, we learn that our Lord himself, that each of us has this guardian angel. Secondly, we learn that our guardian angel always looks upon the face of God. Isn't that beautiful, Jess? The face of God. That's heaven, contemplating wisdom and love. From his face, he reads the loving and wise will of the Father for us and receives the necessary graces to fulfill it, which he can turn communicate to us. So in this first passage there that I just read, therefore, we must always open our hearts for his influence and constantly listen for the will of God through him, seeking his light and guidance. And that's what you've been saying, Justin. That's why I say to our listeners, don't be afraid of the coronavirus or the, I call it the Chinese virus.
Because the Wuhan communist virus.
Yeah. You know what? I see, Jesse, people wearing masks when they're driving a car with no one in the car. Or I see a guy riding
a shield and a mask.
I know. I've seen that today. I saw that today, actually, a shield and a mask.
In a car by themselves.
Jesse, what's happening is they're frightening people. These are good people. I'm not saying they're bad people.
Yeah.
But they're being misled. And what happens is back at the revolution in China and Russia in 1917, and also in Germany, when the Nazis took over, this is a play from a playbook. And so don't let them play you to have fear and so that you live in fear. Have confidence that God is with you. The presence of God is with you. Your guardian angel is with you. Fear not. That's my message.
That's right. Terry, something also kind of important in the whole thing about guardian angels. I'll make it very simple.
Tell me.
If you want to see what your guardian angel does for you, it's in the prayer. The theology is in the prayer. I'll make it simple. Mm-hmm. Okay, here it is. Mm-hmm. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom the love of God commits me here. Here's what he does for us. Watch. Be ever this day at my sight. Here. To light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. That's the ministry of your guardian angel. To light your path.
Amen.
To guard you, you know, from physical and spiritual, to guard, to rule you, in other words, proper to take you into the proper path, proper order, to rule and to guide you in the ways of God, in the ways of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And St. Thomas, he also says what I said in the last segment. He says that the role of a guardian angel, this is Summa Theologica Part 1, Question 113.
Yep.
The role of your guardian angel is to fight off demons.
Amen.
St. Thomas of Aquinas. So I mentioned when we visualize like the moral decision-making debate between a bad angel whispering in one ear and a good angel speaking in the other ear. That's a true statement. St. Thomas says that the role of the guardian angel is to fight off demons. Part 1, question 113, Summa. And St. John Bosco, patron saint of young people, he also weighs in on this, and he says something very powerful. He says, when you're tempted, young people, invoke your angel.
Yep.
He is more eager to help you than you are to be helped. Ignore the devil and do not be afraid of him. He trembles and fears at the sight of your guardian angel, St. John Bosco. Terry, I don't think we do a big favor to a lot of us as Catholics. And I'm guilty of it, too. I was talking to my wife. You got to get rid of some of these statues that we have in the house of these baby angels, because that's not scriptural.
Right.
I got statues of angels in my house of giant angel like Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel.
Yeah.
That's biblical.
Yeah.
They're imposing beings. They're not chubby little babies and stuff. And I think a lot of us have been dumbed down by a lot of Catholic statuary and thinking, yep, oh, that cute little chubby angel and stuff, I'm going to pinch him in the cheek. No, every time somebody sees an angel in the Bible, they almost think they're seeing like, a giant, an absolute giant, a behemoth. And so, again, as Catholics, I think the culture's tried to dumb down the angels and also these new age angels. Give them a name. No Catholics.
Nope.
Catholics, you cannot name your guardian angel. Why? Because Catholic theology teaches us, yep, that a superior can only name an inferior. A human, right, can name their animal, a dog, a cat.
Yep.
But the inferior, your dog and cat, can never name the superior. We see that in the Garden of Eden. Adam was given the power and authority to name all the animals. Why? He's of a superior species. He's a human being. He's superior to the animals who are inferior. So don't try to name your guardian angel or guess his name. Does your angel have a name? Probably. God knows his name. You just call him guardian angel. And maybe in heaven, who knows? If God wants to reveal him to you, he will. But don't try to find out your guardian angel's name like a lot of people do, because they'll say, oh, Jess, I was asking my angel, yeah, for his name. And I heard a voice, Jess. I heard it. It was interior or it was auditory. I heard a voice. And guess what the church says? That voice more than likely is the voice of a demon. Because a demon knows that you're curious about things that you have no authority over. So a demon is going to say, oh, yeah, my name's John. And you're going to walk around for the rest of your life, John, can you help me here, John? And what are you doing? You're communicating with a demon.
Well said, Jesse. I want to encourage people to contact the opusangelorum.org website to get more on consecration to the guardian angel. But check this prayer out, Jesse, as we end this last segment. Holy guardian angel who continually beholds the face of our Father in heaven, God entrusted me to you from the very beginning of my life. I thank you with all my heart for your loving care. I commit myself to you and promise you my love and fidelity. And here's really the powerful part of the prayer. I beg you, protect me against my own weakness, against the attacks of wicked spirits. Enlighten my mind and my heart so that I may always know and accomplish the will of God, and lead me in union with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you want to be like that, you get more information from the opusangelorum.org. And Jess, when you mentioned that prayer, O angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, forever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide, from sinful stain, O keep me free, and in death's hour, my helper be. My wife taught me the last part of that prayer, so I can't go without saying it, because in death's hour, my helper be, my goodness, Jesse, the angel's going to be there. What's going to happen, Jess, real quick, at the end of our life? Where's the final battle going to take place, Jess?
Right there in your mind. As you're in your bed dying, the Council of Trent teaches,
yep,
that at that moment, the devil says, okay, he's weak. He's, yep, in a weakened condition.
Go after
attack.
Him. Yep.
At that moment, when you're days and hours and minutes before you're dying, demons are going to rush your bedside and they're going to attack you.
Yep.
But the promise is if we're devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary says, those that are devoted to me and my rosary, she says, I will rush to your bedside with a legion of angels. I will protect you and drive out the demons away from your bedside so you'll have a peaceful death.
And don't forget, make sure all of us invoke the guardian angel and all the angels to assist President Trump tonight in the debate.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why am
Let's
I saying that?
Let's do it now.
Go ahead, Jess. Let's do it. No, you lead.
In the name of, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask our guardian angel to speak to President Trump's guardian angel tonight. To light him, to guard him, to rule him, and to guide him. And we ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she can be there and wrap the mantle of her maternal wisdom upon President Trump. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed
art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God,
pray
for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And if you think I'm forgetting about Biden, Vice President Biden at one time, I'm going to pray for his conversion. You know why, Jess? Because he's for killing unborn babies, folks. And come on.
We need to pray for conversion.
We have to pray for his conversion because I want to see him in heaven. But you know where I don't want to see him? As the President of the United States, because those babies wouldn't want to see him. Because guess what? They won't see the light of day with him. That's why we're praying for President Trump, that he will have the guidance of the angels to defend the most vulnerable Americans, the unborn.
And we pray for Biden for his conversion. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women.
And blessed
is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy
Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners,
now
and at the hour of
our
death. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom,
pray for
all of us. And you know what? This program isn't right versus left. It's right versus wrong. And it's wrong to kill unborn babies. And we're going to say that until our last day. We will never change because God doesn't change. As last time I looked, Jesse, there's no expiration date on those Ten Commandments or the Bible.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You
Here's
got
the last
it.
Thing. Here's some good bit of information.
Yeah.
St. Michael, the Russian Orthodox Church, calls him the chief commander.
Oh, yeah.
The Eastern Orthodox Church calls St. Michael the supreme commander. The Latin Rite Church, that's us, we call St. Michael the leader of the army of God. And the Greek Orthodox call St. Michael the highest general of heaven. Terry?
Wow, Jesse. Invoke your guardian angel, folks. It's the best secret you have, and that is that you have this angel that God has given to you from all eternity. And he doesn't get recycled. He's there for you and you alone.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
Not the state of confusion or the state of despair or the state of depression, but the state of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. If you're in the state of mortal sin, run a confession ASAP. Pick up your rosary. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not in the battle. Terry?
Hey, I just want to remind, Bishop Strickland's going to have a special show Friday at 5 o'clock with Father Altman. The interview of all time will be at 5 o'clock. Right now, I'm going to interview Bishop Strickland for his usual Tuesday show. And in just 2 minutes, you'll come back with Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas. But again, Friday, 5 o'clock. Tell your friends. It's on YouTube. Special clip there. You've got to see it. Go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio's YouTube channel. Check it out. Pass it to your friends. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.